comment on the book of Job, chapter 1, verse 1. Moses wrote book of Job. The long years amid desert solitudes were not lost. Not only was Moses gaining a preparation for the great work before him, but during this time, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he wrote the book of Genesis and also the book of Job, which would be read with the deepest interest by the people of God till the close of time. Signs of the Times, February 19, 1880. Verse 5, Job as a faithful priest. It were well for parents to learn from the man of Uz a lesson of steadfastness and devotion. Job did not neglect his duty to those outside of his household. He was benevolent, kind, thoughtful of the interest of others, and at the same time he labored earnestly for the salvation of his own family. Amid the festivities of his sons and daughters, he trembled lest his children should displease God. As a faithful priest of the household, he offered sacrifices for them individually. He knew the offensive character of sin, and the thought that his children might forget the divine claims led him to God as an intercessor in their behalf. Review and Herald, August 30, 1881. Chapter 4, verses 7 to 9. Calamity is not an index to sins. It is very natural for human beings to think that great calamities are a sure index of great crimes and enormous sins, but men often make a mistake in thus measuring character. We are not living in the time of retributive judgment. Good and evil are mingled, and calamities come upon all. Sometimes men do pass the boundary line beyond God's protecting care, and then Satan exercises his power upon them, and God does not interpose. Job was sorely afflicted, and his friends sought to make him acknowledge that his suffering was the result of sin and cause him to feel under condemnation. They represented his case as that of a great sinner, but the Lord rebuked them for their judgment of his faithful servant. Manuscript 56, 1894. Verse 9, Job's friends misrepresented God. There is wickedness in our world, but all the suffering is not the result of a perverted course of life. Job is brought distinctly before us as a man whom the Lord allowed Satan to afflict. The enemy stripped him of all he possessed. His family ties were broken. His children were taken from him. For a time his body was covered with loathsome sores, and he suffered greatly. His friends came to comfort him, but they tried to make him see that he was responsible by his sinful course for his afflictions. But he defended himself and denied the charge, declaring, "Miserable comforters are ye all." By seeking to make him guilty before God and deserving of his punishment, they brought a grievous test upon him and represented God in a false light. But Job did not swerve from his loyalty, and God rewarded his faithful servant. Manuscript 22, 1898. Chapter 38. God asks questions scholars cannot answer. Men of the greatest intellect cannot understand the mysteries of Jehovah as revealed in nature. Divine inspiration asks many questions which the most profound scholar cannot answer. These questions were not asked supposing that we could answer them, but to call our attention to the deep mysteries of God and to make men know that their wisdom is limited. That in the common things of daily life there are mysteries past the comprehension of finite minds, that the judgment and purposes of God are past finding out, his wisdom unsearchable. If he reveals himself to man, it is by shrouding himself in the thick cloud of mystery. God's purpose is to conceal more of himself than he makes known to man. Could men fully understand the ways and works of God, they would not then believe him to be the infinite one. He is not to be comprehended by man in his wisdom and reasons and purposes. His ways are past finding out. Romans 11:33. His love can never be explained upon natural principles. If this could be done, we would not feel that we could trust him with the interests of our souls. Skeptics refuse to believe because with their finite minds they cannot comprehend the infinite power by which God reveals himself to men. Even the mechanism of the human body cannot be fully understood. It presents mysteries that baffle the most intelligent. Yet because human science cannot in its research explain the ways and works of the Creator, men will doubt the existence of God and ascribe infinite power to nature. God's existence, His character, His laws are facts that all the reasoning of men of the highest attainments cannot controvert. They deny the claims of God and neglect the interest of their souls because they cannot understand His ways and works. Yet God is ever seeking to instruct finite men that they may exercise faith in Him and trust themselves wholly in His hands. Every drop of rain or flake of snow, every spire of grass, every leaf and flower and shrub testifies of God. These little things so common around us teach the lesson that nothing is beneath the notice of the infinite God, nothing too small for His attention. General Conference Bulletin, February 18, 1897. Verse 11, power that controls waves can control rebellion. Nothing can happen in any part of the universe without the knowledge of Him who is omnipresent. Not a single event of human life is unknown to our Maker. While Satan is constantly devising evil, the Lord our God overrules all so that it will not harm His obedient, trusting children. The same power that controls the boisterous waves of the ocean can hold in check all the power of rebellion and of crime. God says to one as to the other, "Thus far shalt thou go, and no farther." What lessons of humility and faith may we not learn as we trace the dealings of God with His creatures? The Lord can do but little for the children of men because they are so full of pride and vainglory. They exalt self, magnifying their own strength, learning, and wisdom. It is necessary for God to disappoint their hopes and frustrate their plans that they may learn to trust in Him alone. All our powers are from God. We can do nothing independent of the strength which He has given us. Where is the man or woman or child that God does not sustain? Where is the desolate place which God does not fill? Where is the want that any but God can supply? He would have us make Him our protector and our guide in all the duties and affairs of life. Signs of the Times, July 14, 1881. Chapter 42, verse 10. Pray for those who hurt us. Let us strive to walk in the light as Christ is in the light. The Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed, not only for himself, but for those who were opposing him. When he felt earnestly desirous that the souls that had trespassed against him might be helped, he himself received help. Let us pray not only for ourselves, but for those who have hurt us and are continuing to hurt us. Pray, pray especially in your mind. Give not the Lord rest, for His ears are open to hear sincere, importunate prayers when the soul is humbled before Him. Letter 88, 1906.